It's John chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. As you know, we don't read everything at once. We do some stops on the way so that we understand everything. So we're going to read from verse 1 to 5 first, and then we keep going later. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Before we go on, let me show you what's going to be our stops here. Look to the screen. What is our first stop? Who is the gift? Our second stop, who is the reformer? Our third stop, who rejects the gift? Our fourth stop, who receives the gift? You see that I make your life so easy. Who? In this sermon, we're going to see four kinds of people. The Savior, the reformer, John the Baptist, and all of us who are divided in two, the receivers and the one who doesn't receive the gift. Okay? So first thing we're going to see is the first one. Who is the gift? The most important. The title is Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving. Billy Graham says, who knows Billy Graham? Who loves Billy Graham? Good. I love him too. He says that the most important event of earth, it's not that man step on the moon, but that God step on earth. Isn't this beautiful? Yeah. And John, he's portraying this to us. Back in the days of John, he had a challenge. People would question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Is he God? Is he perfect? Is he sinless? And John's going to make, you know, in such a way that it's so easy for us to understand what he's talking to us. I'll raise the question and you answer. Who is the Creator? And then in verse 3, John is going to say what? Through him, all things were made. Jesus is the Creator. Therefore, Jesus is God. He's going to make our lives easy again. Who gives life to everything? God. And then let us see verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. If Jesus gives life to everyone, Jesus is? Who is eternal? And so John is going to make our lives easy. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, pay attention to this. In the beginning, it's where time, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it starts. Time, space, dimension. Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus was there before time, space, and dimension starts. Therefore, Jesus is above time, dimension, and space. Therefore, Jesus is eternal. Therefore, Jesus is God. You see how John makes so easy and clear, and he refutes all questioning people might ask? That's what he's saying. And I know we are in a church that it's mature, and I am old school just like you. Back in the days, we didn't need a paper, My word is my word. If I shook my hand with you, that's all you need. Today you need paper witness, and at the end of the day you're going to go to court and you're going to sue each other and nobody wants to pay anything. Isn't that true? But back in the days, the word was the word. Me and my word, we are one. I do what I say and I say what I do. And John is going to summarize everything showing that Jesus is God in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and His Word are both the same thing. Jesus Christ is God. And why is this important? Because John is talking about who is the gift. And this gift is the best. Back in my old work, they are from the school, I am from the work. Ryan would give sometimes clothes to all of the staff. He would give us clothes. And the clothes was in a place, just like I told you. Here, come, serve yourself. First come, first serve. Go and get gifts. And there was, Leo, can you believe this? There was this man, the supervisor. He would come ahead of everyone because he's close to the boss. He would choose all the best. And then he would text us, there is gifts for you. So he gives us what? The left, the rest. But what is John trying to portray here? God is not like this supervisor I have. God gives the best. What can I give to humanity? The rest? What can I give to them? A little blessing? What I can give to them? Just a good season in their lives? No. He comes home. He looks at heaven. My son. The best. Myself. The best. That's what John is trying to portray. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the best. And that's what he's giving to us. Not the rest. And that's the gift. And it's important that we understand this. Now comes the second person of this. Second point is, who is the reformer? I also put this like this. Who is the witness? And probably it doesn't make sense for you, the second one, if you were not here last week. Because we talked about the reformer last week. But I'll put all of us in the same page. Don't worry. Let us read first verse 6 to verse 8, and we're going to see who is the reformer. Verse 6 says this. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the life. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Who is the reformer? Last week we talked about Malachi, and we saw that 400 years before Jesus Christ, Malachi prophesied to the people of Israel. But most important than prophesying to the people of Israel, Malachi assessed. God did an assessment of the nation of Israel back in the days. And what was the assessment? People was far from God. People worship me with the lips, but their hearts are far from me. The assessment was hard. And then what did God do? God says, I'm going to resolve the problem. And how is he going to resolve the problem? He's going to first send a messenger. He's going to first send a prophet. He's going to first send a reformer. And this reformer is the one we're talking about, There was a man named John. He came as a reformer. He wasn't the light, but he was talking about the light. He wasn't the light, but he was pointing to the light. But simultaneously, with the reformer, the Lord himself would come. You remember Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. I myself am coming to the temple. The Lord your God is going to visit you suddenly. That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. So the assessment of the nation of Israel was, my people needs preparation. My people needs repentance. My people needs reformation. Then I can go. Then the Lord can come. Then I can give Jesus Christ. And you're going to ask me why? And I'm going to answer this with an illustration. My mom and her sisters are coming. Guess what I did the whole Saturday yesterday in the house? What did I do? Clean the house. Better than any person would ever do. Why? Because I'm getting a visitor. Imagine if the visitor comes and I'm not ready. Imagine if Jesus comes and the nation's heart is not ready. That's why God sends the reformer. Because for you to receive the gift, your heart needs to be reformed. Let us be now here very clear. John the Baptist baptized people in a baptism of repentance. If you don't go through that baptized, you cannot go through the baptized of Jesus. If you do not accept the ministry of John the Baptist, you're hardly going to accept the ministry of Jesus. You see how these two things are completely together? The Pharisees rejected Jesus and John the Baptist. The people who accepted and not accepted, but accepted the testimony of John the Baptist was the same one who accepted the Lord Jesus. These two things were together. But pay attention to this, because this, especially for these three preachers, Bible school, this is a very good lesson for you, for me, and for all of us. Here it's the message of John the Baptist. It's a two-folded message. If you see verse 7, he came as a witness to testify concerning the light. What is the first fold of his message? Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in the one who is coming after me. My preaching is Jesus Christ. I have no other business than preaching Jesus Christ. Not entertainment, not none of this, Jesus Christ. But the second fold of the message, it's very interesting. He came to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might be believe. Verse 8, he himself was not the light. And the second fold of the ministry and the preacher and John the Baptist is to tell people, I am not the light. I am not the Savior. Because no matter if it's Gustavo, John Calvin, Luther, Emmanuel, Shane, Danny, Art Van Sladen, no matter who is the preacher, all of the preachers are limited. Can you say amen to that? Gustavo is limited. Raise amen. Amen. I preach only to the ears. Only Jesus Christ can preach to your heart. I baptize with water. Only Jesus Christ can baptize with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the elements of communion. Only the Holy Spirit can apply that to your heart. John knew he was limited. people thought, wondered if he is the Messiah, and he says, no, I'm not. I am limited. I am not the light. Jesus Christ is the light. I am not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Amen? So these are the two main characters, and the first one is the real main character. Who is the gift? Jesus Christ, the gift that keeps giving. Second one, the witness of that gift is John the Baptist, so people could receive Jesus. Now comes to the meat of the sermon. Third point, who rejects the gift? And now we're going to read from verse 9 all the way to verse 18. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From his fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. I'll repeat this one. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. What is John trying to teach here? And now this point three and this point four, they're going to be connected with one another. Nobody has ever seen God, but if you look at Jesus, you're going to find God. You want to know what John is trying to say? You cannot miss God. You cannot miss the Savior. There is no way you can get it wrong. Why? Because God became flesh. People touch God. People were touched by God. People asked questions to God. God has answered them. If you try hard, you cannot miss God. But then Gustavo raises another question. How come third point is there? How come people still reject Jesus Christ? And I'm going to give you two illustrations that it's going to answer what John is teaching us. But before we do that, with your Bibles open, pay attention to verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Repeat with me, understood it. You see it, you see him, but you don't understand him. You touch him, but you don't understand him. He walks among you, he speaks with you, but you don't understand it. Pay attention to verse 10. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Repeat with me, recognize him. You see him, but you don't recognize him. You see him, but you don't understand him. Now the two illustrations. Who are the ones who reject Jesus Christ? And this one is very interesting. Leo, I need you on this one. Are you ready? Okay. People of this church, the ladies, they keep asking me, why am I single? What's your answer? I didn't understand. But you want to know my answer? The ladies are blind. There must be something very wrong with the ladies. They don't see this strong, tall, nice, all the good traits I have. And yeah, I know. Very handsome, and they are blind. Okay, this is one illustration. The second one, it's the dating one and the marriage one. When you're dating, you fall in love for the wrong person. Because you do not fall in love to the real person. You fall in love to your mind. Oh, he's wonderful. Oh, he's a prince. Oh, he never gets mad. Oh, he took me out for dinner and he paid everything. Oh. And then you marry. And then the prince is not that prince. And you see that he indeed gets mad a little bit more often than you would like to. And all of that. But now what you need to do? You have two options. You love the real person, or you shun the real person, come back to your idea. No, I love my idea. I love that one that I created in my mind. Is that true or not? That's what the people of Israel did to Jesus. Is Jesus the king? Is he the savior? Was he sent for the salvation of the nation of Israel? But they had an idea about who is the king. The king must be like David. Who is David? Put your sword and go defeat the enemy. Jesus has never put a hand in a sword. Therefore, he does it, is not compatible with our ideas. Therefore, what we do? We shun Jesus Christ, we reject Jesus Christ, and we embrace our ideas. No. Our king, he must take us out of the pressure, out of the dominance of Rome. Our king must dethrone Caesar. Caesar in English, Caesar. Our king is going to take that seat. He's going to rule everything. The capital of the world cannot be Rome. The capital of the world must be Jerusalem. And Jesus was talking none about it. My kingdom actually is from heaven. My Jerusalem actually is the new Jerusalem. And what they say? I'm shunning Jesus Christ because he's not compatible with my ideas. And you ask me, Gustavo, is that possible? It is. We love the truth, but sometimes the truth is a little bit harsh. Yes or no? If somebody comes to me and say, Gustavo, you're horrible, and you do this wrong, and you do that wrong, and you do blah, 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 that person is probably 100% right. I don't want to listen to it, but that person is probably right. So what do? You shun the person. You shun the person who is speaking the truth to you. Why? Because I like to be on my own world and think that I am perfect. That's what makes me feel comfortable. So in the life, in our lives, all the areas of life, sometimes we are confronted to the truth and sometimes we shun it, we leave it afar, we leave it on the sidelines, because I want to relate with my own world, with my own idea about who I am, about who the other is, or about anything. That's what the nation of Israel did to Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes to deal with sin, they don't want it. When Jesus comes to love the Romans, they don't want it. They want someone who hates the Romans, just as they did. And so they shun the truth, they shun the Savior for the sake of their ideas. And if you pay attention to verse 5 and verse 10, they did not understand him. They did not recognize him. Why? Because they had this political, this desire, and this idea of how Jesus should look like, and they missed who Jesus really looked like. Does that make sense? That's the way people reject Jesus nowadays. Invite someone to the church, invite someone to talk about Jesus, and they come up with their ideas. Church has many hypocrites. Church gets things wrong. Okay, let's talk about the Bible. Forget about the church. Because, yeah, let's talk about the Bible. No, 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 that book is outdated. No, 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 there are some things there that I don't agree with. Okay? Before they get to know him, before they can touch him, before they can be touched by him, before they can listen to his voice, verse 18, no one has seen God, but Jesus makes God clear. If you look at him, you're going to see him. But before they see him, they are already loving their ideas and not coming close to God, not coming close into Jesus. Therefore, they reject Jesus Christ. That happened during the time of Malachi, that happens during the time of Jesus, and that happens, unfortunately, still nowadays. But there is good news. If you watch the news, I'm just like a newscaster. I paint the bad picture, but at the end of the news, I give a short clip of good news. There is good news this morning. There is the next point. Those who receive the gift. And so if the ones who reject the gifts are the ones who love their opinion, their ideas, their everything they create in their own mind more than the person, who are the ones who love and receive Jesus Christ? I'm going to quote Jesus Christ himself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the humble in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are these people? The ones who leave their opinions, their expectations aside, and they come to know who Jesus really is. And once they come to know who Jesus really is, they will see God. They'll be touched by him. They'll listen to his voice. They're going to receive the gift. Another word from Jesus Christ's Sermon of the Mountain. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. People who come and they are like the dove. People who come and they are open. People who come and when Jesus speaks, they really want to listen. Because you know, sometimes we are talking to people, and no matter what the person speaks, we already have our minds made up. Who are the pure in heart? The ones who come to Jesus Christ, the ones who come to the Bible and actually wants him to speak. And once Jesus speaks, their lives are transformed. They see God. The ones who are able to leave their opinions and ideas aside to come and have a relationship with the real Jesus, with the real God, with the real gift of Christmas. Does that make sense? And I see here in this text, and I want to use this as a conclusion, the blessings of receiving the gift. Verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Repeat with me the word right. Right. That word in the Greek, it's exousia. And pay attention to this. That word means these three things. Right, authority, and power. Because not always these three are together. Do you agree with me? There is people in power who have a lot of power, who had a lot of authority, but they do it in crooked ways. But they do it under the table. But they do it illegitimate. You see that the three are not always together. God has given all humans authority to rule over creation. Look at me. I can rule a puppy. Put a lion in front of me. I have the right, but I don't have the power. I'm running very quick and leaving whoever is behind me to be a snack. Not me. I'm not the snack. Someone else is going to be the snack. I have the right, but I don't have the power. Is that clear? When you believe in Jesus Christ, all these three are together. You have the right, you have the authority, and you have the power to be sons and daughters of God. That's why, pay attention to this, that's why we find very weird, very weird, when people say, I believe in Jesus, but there is lack of power in their lives. Because what the text says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the right, you have the authority, and you have the power. Now it's time to act like Jesus, to sound like Jesus, to do life just like Jesus does. Why? Because once you believe in Him, you have the right, the authority, and the power to be a son of God, to be a daughter of God. This is one of the blessings. The second blessing that I see, it's there in verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or husband's will, but born of God. All of us are born physically, not all of us are born spiritually. And who receives the gift are the ones who are born spiritually. And through the gift, you are included in God's family. Through the gift, you have eternal salvation. Through that gift. And that's the message we need to give people. Is that they need to receive Jesus. That they need salvation. So that they can be born not only according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit can come and indwell them. So that the Spirit can come and seal them. So that the Holy Spirit can come and bring eternity to them. I'm not eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. If I'm born from Jesus Christ, eternity is in my heart. I am not the blessed one. Jesus Christ is the blessed one. If I'm born in Jesus Christ, His blessings are upon me. That's another blessing I see when you receive Jesus Christ. Verse 17. Verse 16 and 17. Another blessing. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Before Jesus Christ, Gustavo is not grace upon grace. It's defeat upon defeat. It's sin upon sin. Disappointment upon disappointment. But once I receive the gift, once I see Jesus Christ, once I welcome Him in my heart and I am welcomed by Him, it is grace upon grace. Blessedness upon blessedness. And verse 17 tells us that for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Some people get this verse and misunderstand it, creating two different gods. One God that's completely fully mean, the God who showed up through Moses. And another God that's completely nice, Jesus Christ and the new covenant. That's not what the Bible is teaching. Is God very graceful in the Old Testament? Yes, he is. Or else Adam would be passed away right there in 1 second. But God is graceful. When God provides to humanity lamb after lamb to keep people away from their sins, the lamb that could never take away their sins, because only Jesus can take away their sins of the world. And God does this patiently. Is it God graceful? Very graceful. And is it God lawless just because John is saying that the grace came through Jesus Christ? No. There is law in the New Testament. There is expectations in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, if you read Revelation, there is a final judgment in the New Testament. That's not what John is talking about here. If John is not talking about two different gods, two different dispensations, a God that was very lawful in the Old Testament and a God who is very kind in the New Testament, if that's what he's not talking about, what is he talking about? He's talking about everybody, ring finger with me, everybody. He's talking about covenant. When the law came through Moses, Israel became God's people. When Jesus stepped on earth, not only Israel is God's people, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Canadians, Brazilians, Dutch, even for the Americans, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you become God's people. Because the law was given to Moses. There was a previous people, and now this people got bigger. And now these people are not ethnicity anymore. And now these people, it's not according to the flesh anymore. Now these people, it's according to a spirit. Those who are born from Christ. Does that make sense? But I want to conclude with the final blessing. Because sometimes we are asked, what is salvation? And our default answer, and it should be our default answer because we don't know the person who are asking us. So maybe that's the best answer. It is to live in eternity with God. It is not to go to hell. It is to spend eternity with Christ. And we usually mention the word heaven, to have eternity in heaven. John, the same gospel, he tells us in chapter 17, I'm very bad with address, but I believe it's chapter 17. He tells us what is eternity and what is salvation. It is to know Jesus Christ. It is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. To know God and Jesus Christ, the one you have sent. That's salvation. That's the eternal life. Pay attention to verse 18. And this is the blessing I want you to understand. Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving. Verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Keep your Bible open. Let's backtrack. John starts the sermon saying that people did not understand Jesus Christ. And why do they not understand Jesus Christ? Because they need eyes to see. And therefore, John describes Jesus Christ as the light. The more light you give to someone, the more they can see. If I take light out of your vision, No matter what's in front of you, no matter the blessing that it's in front of you, no matter even where you are, you're blind. And so John is saying, people are in darkness, Jesus Christ is the light, and what is the goal? To know God. What is John saying? The more you see Jesus Christ, the more light you have, the more you know God. What is salvation? To know God and the one He has sent. How can you do that? When you see. How can you see? When you look at Jesus, because He is the light. Now, John, from verse 1 to verse 18, he's talking about one subject. The world is in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. But if people blind themselves to Jesus Christ, they will never know God. And the goal, it's not an address change. Salvation is not about an address. If you're going to spend eternity in hell or heaven, salvation is about a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. And that's the gift of salvation. And that is the reason John is writing this. And that's what makes Christmas all it is, when we get to know Jesus Christ. It is a waste of time to come to church and never get to know Jesus Christ. It is a waste of time to pray and ask all the blessings and never get to know Jesus Christ. Is it a waste of time if I read the Bible to prepare a sermon to you, but never get to know Jesus Christ? But when I come to this book, but when I come to prayer, but when I come to church and I want to get to know Him, then salvation is there. Then the gift of Christmas is there. Then the blessedness is there. So let us come close to Jesus Christ, very far from our ideas, and may we be blessed by Him. Amen.